right, let's get some directions going. Normally I'm worried about accidentally directing the vast listenership of this podcast to my house, but we're going to my sister's briefly, so fuck them. Fuck them. Where's your fucking address? Where's your address, lady?
You only got one sister, right?
Yes. You've met her.
Yeah, yeah. I met her in a couple times, I think. But originally in Chicago, right?
Yes.
In Rosemont. Yeah, they don't book me anymore.
Well, that's recorded and going out strong.
They know what they did.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, like, we talked about this, like, I mean, very, very early in the pandemic, but it's like everybody's going to take their lumps at the, like, go down a level, you know?
Well, you know what happened is there's a, you know, there's Zanies, two mm-hmm. Zanies in Chicago, and the booker during COVID was like, yeah, I'm good. I've been here forever. And so he retired. And that was it so far. I mean, hopefully I'll get back in, but that's what happens sometimes. Sometimes the new booker helps you, sometimes they hurt you, so.
Yeah, I know that you're not going to like what I'm about to say, but it is refreshing to find out that kind of shit plagues you also. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I feel like everything that I do is that. It's like the wrong turn on a fucking book or whatever, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah,
you're
yeah.
like, it's, I mean, I'm sure this is the thing, is we're all stars of our own movie and we all feel like we have bad luck. But I'm like, well, I started 6 months too late to get this thing.
Yeah.
And if I would have gotten that thing, you know, we know guys that are like, they blew up, like, and blew up is like, obviously, I don't think anyone that started when I started is outside of the guy who I'll be opening for next weekend, Hans Kim.
That guy blew half of our, it's like, that guy blew up. He's at a sports bar for $200 tonight. Yeah. Lucky son of a bitch.
Or it's like, I mean, he blew up. He's in fucking New York doing a show for 12 people for probably no money. He's at this club that pays $25 a set, which is amazing, and struggling to pay his rent. What a fucking star.
Well, what sucked about Zanies is it was like, it was a really long process to get in, and then when I got in, I mean, I kind of feel like everything's temporary all the time, but it was really like, oh, I can't believe I'm working these clubs. Like, this is like, kind of beyond,
right.
This is kind of beyond where I thought I'd be headlining clubs, and then, unfortunately, the very last one I did in the what do they call it, Old Town, downtown Chicago, the original Zanies, was in 2020, and it was already less money and less shows, but then I ended up only staying Tuesday and Wednesday because the governor shut down the whole city. So for the second time in that year, I had to like leave a city because COVID shut it down. So it was
wow.
just so depressing to have it happen again and also be like, It was like one of my dream gigs. Like, I can't believe I'm here, and it's in this cool neighborhood, and I'm staying in this apartment. You know, there's this great ale house, like, historic bar that I would go to. It was just, you know, it was like this dream gig. And then I went back, and this haunted house version of my former life, pandemic, no, the bar's closed, limited seating, and then it shuts down, and I have to leave early. And so now I'm like, that was my last time?
Yeah.
That was the last one I got to go to?
Do you feel like you've, I mean, obviously not all the same places, but are you like back at the level, however you
yeah.
would measure it financially or prestige?
Yes. You
I mean,
know,
before you got into the Comedy Cellar, would you have put yourself there?
Yeah.
Nice.
I you know, probably not adjusted for inflation, but this will be the most money.
Well, I don't think that comedy salaries have adjusted for inflation yet.
Fucking no. No, they haven't.
They haven't adjusted for inflation from the 80s. So.
Do you know what I think? Because when people, I mean, I even jokingly said someone's getting $200 at a sports bar. Because it's been like, you know, I mean, I made more than that tonight. But it's like
7,500 is what he told me on the
ride. Exactly. I had a
there were 60 people in Lake Stevens that all paid $125 each.
They drink wine, they can afford it. It's not a box winery. But so what was I saying?
Prestige, what is the speed limit here? Is this a cop?
Oh, when we no, it's not a cop.
Fucking, was that like a tree trunk?
I think it was a bike.
Oh, wow.
But it's like a joke that the one-nighter pay is like 200, 100, 200 to headline, 100 to open. And it's still that way a lot of times. And right. It has been since the 80s. But what I really started thinking about recently isn't how sad that is that it's the same, but like $200 in 1984?
What am I doing here?
Would be amazing.
Right. That's like a whole, that's like your whole rent.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, I'm going to buy land.
Yeah, that's it. Well, yeah, because you always hear those stories about, there's like two ways I feel about it, where they're like, people could make a good living featuring on the road, and I turn into like a little bit of like a, first off, I'm featuring on the road.
Yeah.
But I turn into a little bit of those like old Republicans that are like, McDonald's isn't supposed to be a fucking family wage job, it's an entry level job. You know, it's like,
yep.
You're not really supposed to make a living featuring on the road.
No, and it's also, there. You know, when people talk about the comedy boom, and they really don't anymore, I'm just old enough, I heard old people talk about it in the 80s, and it's like, you know, there was sex comedy clubs in every city, and they would fly the middle act in and pay them $2,000, and it's like, that's all great, but it's also like, oh, that was clearly unsustainable.
Right.
No one, it's, you know, there's not enough funny people for that to be a reality. It's not... so it's like, yeah, maybe that was a great thing that happened, but like, I guess you never know it's going to be temporary.
Yeah.
But,
go ahead. Oh, I was going to ask a question because, so you didn't see that comedy boom, but there's like these comedy waves, whatever you want to call them. And I think that prior to the pandemic, I think we were like cresting a wave, it seemed like.
Yeah.
And then the pandemic happened and we really hit the fucking swell of that wave pretty hard. But then it felt like it went back up pretty hard. And my feeling as an observer of the world, not someone who's looking at actual comedy club tickets sold or anything like that, it feels like we are like back on the downside of this wave because like people that were like, I mean, that I, you know, you and I've talked about this off microphone at minimum many times, but like Tacoma Comedy Club's open mic, they were like, you got to go in the green room because we are at capacity out here. Yeah. So like we're turning people away. So if you're going to do a set, you're going to have to be, you're going to have to go in the green room. And now it's like, I'm like working with people. I've worked with people who are like decently well known that are not selling out.
Yes. I think that, yeah, there was, I don't know what you want to call that sweet spot of maybe a year, maybe even less than a year, of just people being so thrilled to be able to go to live events again, or if it's someone they've been following, they're like, I haven't been able to see you for 2 or 3 years, and that, yes, I believe that has gone. Mm-hmm. It's not, you can't just, people aren't selling out open mics, you know, and like you said, even some bigger names are not.
It almost feels like we're behind, to me, feels like we're behind where we were 2020, like February 2020.
For live attendance?
Yeah. That's...
I agree with that.
Okay.
I actually agree with that. But I think what happened, one of the things that happened during the pandemic, the only boom that happened was internet.
Right.
Even, not that, obviously, shit was on the internet, but even more so now.
People were making careers on the internet.
Yes. So it's even more so now, and it's like, I don't know if that... I don't know if that helps us either.
Sure.
As far as getting people to go to, you know, but yeah, I don't.
Because you're competing with the internet to sell tickets, is what you're saying? Like the whatever the.
I just think people go, hey, I'm a fan of so and so. They put up 14 clips a week. I watch their podcast, and then they're like, oh, they're coming to the club near you, and they're like, I'm good.
Right.
How much do I need to see this fucking guy? And everything else I do is free.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's another factor, is tickets are really fucking expensive because everything else is really expensive. And so I think people are going like, yeah, I'll go to that show. And then they're like, $48? Nah, I'm good. Or in a, I mean, like, big concerts, $200 for, like, bands and shit.
Right.
People are just like, no, I can't.
I kind of feel like there's a thing about comedy specifically, too, that's like, you're, I mean, and you saw this, like, when you put out clips and they get any traction, you inevitably get the person who's like, I'm going to give this joke the least generous interpretation and tell you why this is problematic. And I kind of think that, like, the world has had that experience where, like, I think, like, people are sick of fucking stand-ups.
Well, it's interesting you say that because I have a recorded podcast, The Drive Home with Gabriel Rutledge. I had a big fan of that podcast at the show today, yelling shit at me. Anyway.
Today.
Yeah, it just happened. But I actually was talking about this because it, maybe it's my algorithm because I follow a lot of comedians because I know them, but it's like, they're, in the 80s, one of the reasons the comedy boom died, allegedly, is there was so much stand-up comedy on television that people did not feel like they had to go to the club anymore.
Gotcha.
And there's no way that's not happening a little bit now with
your phone.
With your phone. Where you're, I mean, because I'm to the point where I'm like, even people I love as comedians, I'm like, I'm not watching this clip. Enough.
Yeah.
And the other side of that is, and I do this too, I put up crowd work clips too, but so much of the content, it's like you're just flipping through and it's some comic going, nice sweater, douchebag, next clip, you know, fuck you. You know, it's this weird stuff that maybe not even be good for our business. It's like, what stand-up comedy mean to you? Oh, that's when the comedian yells at the crowd after they yell at him. Or, you know, the fact that I can't remember her name, but she got a beer thrown at her and she
Ariel Elias?
Yes, and she handled it very well. And I follow her on Twitter, like everyone else, and she seems very funny. The day after, she tweeted everyone who said, because she drank the beer.
Uh-huh.
And the day after, she tweeted everyone who said I was going to get herpes from drinking that beer. Joke's on you, I already have herpes. And I was like, I like her, she's funny.
Yeah.
But it's fucked up that when comedians see that, when comedians see a clip of a lady getting a full beer thrown at her head, we all go, fuck, she's so lucky.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
That kind of speaks to the what the fuck is happening. I mean, it's not just comedy, but it is. I feel like my online life is at a saturation point of stand-up comedy. Like, I don't know how much more I can consume. And I do think that bleeds over a little bit into people going to see live anything. Music, comedy,
right?
You know.
Yeah, I think it's also, she said a thing on there that I think is kind of, like, I thought that clip was not emblematic of America, but I do think there's a thing in American discourse where you're like, this lady's just mad because from her jokes, she drew the assumption that she voted for Joe Biden.
Yeah.
And fucking newsflash lady, comedians are performance artists. They voted liberal.
Yeah.
The chances are they either didn't vote or voted liberal. Like,
uh-huh.
The most conservative comedians just don't vote or vote like a third party. Or they, I mean, there's very few that actually vote like straight up Republican. So if you have to have your comedian have voted for Trump, And she said a thing, the Ariel Elias lady, that was, I thought was like, I don't like that. That was like a crackling exhaust.
I know. I always think it's gunfire. Speaking of American things.
God. The last time we did a podcast, I think it was like, I had recently, there had been some gunfire by my house. I had a night where I was up at like midnight. Not to brag. But like 12 shots, like a Jesus. Burst of six and another burst of six. And apparently it was, so like I got the Citizen app and it was people shooting at each other. Fucking scary.
That is scary.
But it's like, also was just, you know, if I was asleep, I wouldn't, my dog didn't wake up.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
I wouldn't have even known. But no, she said like, why does it matter who I voted for? Which is like, that's what I feel like.
Yep. She did not want it to be political. She tried to steer it away, and the woman wouldn't have it.
Right. Even if every one of my jokes makes you think that I voted for Biden, who fucking cares?
Yeah.
I don't care who you voted for. I want you to laugh at my jokes. You know what I mean? If I'm talking, like, I also understand there are people, and this is like comedians' fault, but there are people who are like going in trying to have a provocative political take on stuff on stage, and it's our fault and it's audience's fault for liking it, I guess. But like, I said this on the way here, and it's like, it sounds more like a true artist than I mean to make it sound like, but I'm very into writing jokes that have like, that are gonna make everybody listening to it not like it.
Yeah.
Like, when that works, like that American flag joke I have, which today is a good example of nobody liked it in real life, but normally it does pretty well on stage.
Yeah.
And that joke is like, I think when you listen to that joke, you're like, fuck, if you like cared about who I voted for, you're like, I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
At the end of it, you know? And it's like, it's also like, it is like kind of, like kind of pokes on these sensitive political topics, but you're like, fuck, he's like, he hates everybody? Like, he hates both sides? Like, yeah, that's actually how I feel. It's like, you both suck, and you're crazy. And I like that, but I think, like, we've been robbed of it by, like, The Daily Show becoming the place that most college kids used to get their news. Now, who knows? It's like fucking Instagram memes or TikTok memes.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I definitely... Yeah, that woman was the... You know, and also... She was a Trump supporter. She was an asshole. But, like, there was some discourse that was like, of course she was a Trump supporter. And I am here to tell you, after a lifetime of field research, that conservative people do not heckle any more than liberal people.
Right.
Trump people specifically at this point, if you're still, like, a huge Trump, you know, I mean, that is kind of a special... You know, that was she wanted to talk about it. She wanted to go in and talk about it.
Right. If you are a Trump person and you want to see comedy that appeals to your specific ideology that you're, like, kind of crazy about, it is hard to find.
Yeah.
But I'm not, like... I mean, also, the other thing is, I don't know what the joke was that led up to that. I didn't ever watch... I don't know if she released the whole set or if the whole set was there. Nor does that justify that lady's behavior in any way. But I think there's, like... I do know, like, those people have to feel shit on constantly because, like, they get made... I mean, it's like, that's like a pejorative, a Trump supporter.
Yeah.
More so than even when people use Republican as a pejorative. Trump supporter means something, like, way different and way worse. And I have a joke I'm trying to work on right now. All I have is the premise, but it's like... I met someone that said they were a day one Biden-Harris supporter. And I was like, that's the... fucking most pathetic thing I've ever heard in my life. And then it's also like Donald Trump, it's not just because you're a liberal, like Donald Trump, there's like people handing out flyers that say he's the next coming of Jesus. First off, the guy's 79 years old or something, like,
yeah,
he waited this long. That's a long time to wait on earth to fucking, but also I think he seems more of a like fuck Mary and leave her in a manger person to me than Jesus. Like, anyway, it's like, I don't know. I think it's like stupid that we even care that much about who people voted for. Augie Smith said a thing to me one time, and I kind of like, he said it to me in response to me saying that I don't think comedy's that important, which I do not completely, I'm not completely stepping away from. But he said comedy is like the last place where two men can have a face-to-face interaction or something like that. It was very much more poetic and deep than that. But it's like, I do think it is like a place, like you can't get the comedy experience without being in person. Even with the like, the internet stuff that's available, that's like a small fraction of the
I just don't
experience.
Know if people know that.
Yeah, I agree with you. Even if like, they might go like, it's enough to get me by and I don't spend $30 plus two drinks.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it is.
We are in we basically are in a recession also, right? Like, so that's, I guess...
You watch your fucking mouth.
Isn't it weird that we're like, okay, so like everything, my dollar is worth way less than it used to be. To buy a house is way more expensive than it used to be. And like home prices have gone down a little bit, but interest rates have gone up.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, this is all the stuff. We've like, we have all the ingredients to bake a cake, but we're not going to call it a cake. We're mixing it in a bowl.
Yeah.
We're baking it. We're not going to call it a cake though, because cake is a dirty word now.
Like, I feel like it'll be like, the first time that we mentioned is when they go, we're coming out of the recession.
Right.
And then it would be like, you never said we were in one.
Right. And they're also like, the gas prices have gone down, and it was like, for like a week, they were at $4.60, and now they're fucking back up to mid-fives.
I know.
Like, what are we talking about? I don't know. I guess, like, you should have held that till closer to the election or whatever. Like,
yeah, I know. He peaked early on that. Also, Midwest, look, it's always cheaper gas in the Midwest. It's always cheaper gas in the South than, like, East Coast, West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
It's $2 a gallon cheaper
right
now, which is like, that was kind of wild to me. It was like, you know, I think I paid $3.25 a gallon when I was in Wisconsin. I'm like, damn.
Wow, that's great. That's like good for the pre times.
Yeah.
Almost.
I don't even remember. I mean, look, obviously, that is an impact on my life because I drive a lot and I fly a lot and flights. There's some flights next year that I'm like, I haven't bought them yet because I'm like, God, I hope they come down, you know? But it's, you know, some people are just like, they couldn't tell you what gas costs.
Right.
And I think that's a little healthier in a weird way. That's just like, oh, these gas prices. And it's like, huh? Oh, okay.
That's the thing that I love about my wife is she's liberal, but like not. My favorite thing about my wife is she doesn't know. That's not my favorite thing. You gotta be careful the way you phrase these things. You never know who's gonna listen to this fucking podcast. All of a sudden, my mother-in-law is fucking. Oh, your favorite thing is that she doesn't pay attention to the news? Your favorite thing.
Mother of your child.
Yeah, but one of the things that I love about her is that she's like not, it's not like a day-to-day emotional struggle with the news, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So she'll like know about some stuff, and especially like if like, you know, unfortunately, if like a school shooting happens, she becomes aware of that because she's a teacher. When, you know, a national tragedy happens, she's aware of it. When the January 6th stuff was happening or the election was happening, like stuff that like just like buries us in information, she's aware of it. But like, you know, she doesn't know what's going on with Kanye West right now.
Yeah.
So I can, sometimes I will just be able to have like I'll just be like, hey, so this thing happened, and I'm like trying to like think through it. Because I try to have, like, I try to be, like, an honest, like, truly a free thinker, not a Kanye West version of free thinking, where it's, like, I just am a contrarian that wants to sell t-shirts. Well, that's actually kind of what comedy is, but...
Sure.
Fuck. The Jews.
That's your new shirt.
No, the Jews. But, yeah, I like that, because then she doesn't have, like, she has kind of, like, a pure reaction to it. Instead of like a biased reaction, my point is she doesn't know what CNN's saying. She doesn't know what Fox News is saying. So I just say a thing and she just reacts like a person who's kind of like untainted by media bias would react to it. And I like that because sometimes I can be like, here are the facts as I know them. And she'll say something. I'm like, I'm not crazy. It does seem like people are like the path people are taking to some. To their side of the argument is crazy. It's like winding and complicated. And the easiest react, like the most obvious reaction to this, that's probably the right one, is this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I love the feeling of like, I mean, not that I like know everything about Kanye, but if someone was like, you hear what's going on with Kanye, I love the feeling of going, no.
Right.
Like when you don't know something, you're like, it feels good. You know what I mean? You're like, oh, I didn't hear about this. And not that I don't want to hear about it, but it's like, I got to skip this whole discourse. I got to skip the outrage and the fake outrage and the real, you know,
yeah, it'll be, it's also, it's the thing, so this is like very much just an old person thing, and we're getting older, and this happened to every person that got old, this happened to, but it's like, this Twitch streamer came out as non-binary, and it's like, I don't know who that is. This is going to affect my life zero.
Yeah, I
hope they're happy. I cannot care about this. Like, it just, I can't care either way. Because I will never know who this person is.
Yeah. I mean, my kids tell me stuff all the time about, like, everyone they follow has controversies. Like, whatever. They allegedly said something racist. Grooming allegations. Man, that's a word I never heard. until recently. Like, grooming? But it's... Yeah, but I'm always just like, well, who knows? And even my kids are getting that way. Even my kids are like, who knows?
Well, that's kind of the thing that I feel like the other side of this is like, I think people are sick of comedians, but I think they're also sick of like constantly being told what the only acceptable opinion to have is. And I got to imagine like your kids' generation is becoming a little more objective because they've just been fed. Like, at some point, you go, like, maybe that's not actually the reality or, like, this person. You know when they're, like, there's a thing where you go, I'm going to use an example that's probably a little controversial. I don't mean it to be, but it's, like, Joe Biden signed the 94 crime bill. And there's a way you can say this next part that resulted in millions of black men being incarcerated. Or you could say, so that millions of black men would be put in jail.
Yeah.
One of those is effect and one is cause, right? And I think that, like, we have, like, a real cause and effect issue. So I've been going, like, 75, and this guy that's coming up on our right has been on my ass in the HOV lane, and now I guess the HOV lane's gonna close. Oh, and the perfect car for it, like a 1998 Honda Accord. That's the right car to go 90 miles an hour.
He's literally going as fast as it possibly
can go. Yeah.
Just rattling.
Maybe it's like the bus on speed. Like,
he's got to drive until the gas runs out.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like, man, maybe we talked about this, but I feel like in the way that, like, we might look at I'm 48, I might look at, like, an old person who gets, like, duped by a phone call where it's like, we need your social security number because you've been hacked, or what's your bank account information? Like, you know, some old person who falls for that, and I look at them like, oh, that's just sad. And I think, you know, my kids, my son's older, but I got a ninth grader and a sixth grader. And they're like, because of the internet, they don't believe anything,
right?
Which is partly sad, and it's partly like they're just so much smarter about, like, well, that smells like bullshit. Even in a way that I can't, because it's like I used to have a life without the internet. So I forgot about that joke. I gotta bring that back.
I had an interesting conversation with my in-laws because we were talking about it. Was my brother-in-law is great guy, but he's like, you know, Joe Rogan-ish kind of guy, like into Joe Rogan shit, you know, whatever, all that. By the way, it's only fucking, like, liberal dudes who have to apologize for liking Joe Rogan. Most of the world is just out there either not caring about him or loving him.
Yeah.
Like, not guilty. And I don't love the dude, but, like, people who listen to him don't feel the same guilt as you think they do.
He's fine. He's not, people... Sometimes people on the left talk about him like, I don't know what, like he's Trump or something, right? Or like he's, and it's really, you know.
But so he goes, he said something, and he goes, we were like kind of having a discussion, and then he goes, okay, what do you guys believe that we landed on the moon? He asked me and his parents, so my in-laws.
Okay.
And they were like, absolutely. And I was like, honestly, gun to my head, like, I'm not, I don't have, like, a super strong opinion either way, but gun to my head, if I had to, like, with all the information I know, if I had to pick yes or no, I would say no. And it started this kind of conversation because, so, the moon landing is not a, holy shit, that cop pulled over three people. That's a super cop. By the way, if you're one of those front two people, you're a pussy. Keep driving. You know what I mean? Like, if you get pulled over as two of three people, you're a pussy. I think I've, anyway. So my father-in-law goes, he said, I think what you guys have is a distrust of the government. And I was like, yeah. Like, yeah. Yes, that's exactly, like, I mean, I think he, like, meant it to be like, this is a flaw of yours. And to me, as a, like, you know, growing up at the time when I did, I was like, no, that's, you're right. Like, I don't trust the government because they've given me a lot of reasons to not trust them. It's their flaw that I don't trust. You know what I mean?
It's, well, yeah. Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I even want to fight back on the moon thing, but what the fuck do I have to say?
Right. Well, but so to me, the thing is like, the deal with the moon to me is I'm emotionally disconnected from it because it's not, nothing from my childhood becomes a lie.
Yeah.
Nothing from our, like, kind of experience of American pride is a lie because that wasn't part of my experience of American pride. There was, like, a thing going on with the Russians where this showed, like, the United States. So this is my other argument that I made to them. I was like, just because it's fake, I don't know if that's a bad thing. Like, if, let's say they faked it. Let's say we have proof positive evidence that they faked it. The net being, like, it maybe contributes to, like, less military violence against the United States. That's good. I don't know. Like, it maybe boosts America's morale and boosts the American economy. That's good. Like, I don't know. I don't know what the... I'm not saying it's bad.
Yeah.
Like America is very good at propaganda, as are Russia and, you know, the, obviously, like, Nazi Germany and many countries. Most governments are pretty good at propaganda, right? Propaganda benefits us all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I think my counter-argument would be there's a lot of fucking people that have to keep their mouth shut. And I don't think they would have. But it is interesting that, I don't know if this is a uniquely American thing, but there's plenty of times where the government has lied and done terrible things.
Right.
And we don't seem to remember. It's always this constant reset of, like, I mean, certainly in my lifetime, I think the biggest one would be, like, the whole weapons of mass destruction, go to war with the wrong people, kill hundreds of thousands of people who had nothing to do with anything.
Right.
And then we just go, like, yeah, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting that that's the one for you, because I was in high school when that happened. Like, I was, there was, like, there were people in my high school that were, like, joining the war out of just blind patriotism, right? Or joining the military out of blind patriotism. But the one for me is the NSA and Edward Snowden. Where what I'm curious about from my father-in-law or other people, because I don't know that Edward Snowden's, like, the opinion of Edward Snowden, I don't think really falls on partisan lines necessarily. I could be wrong, but I feel, so, like, do you view him as a hero or a traitor?
Yeah.
And I think, depending on how you feel about that, is, like, I bet you could correlate a lot of other opinions. So if you think he's a traitor, I bet you absolutely think that we landed on the moon. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think it's, like, I don't even know that I think he's not a traitor. Like, again, I could be swayed. My feeling is that he's, with the information that I have right now, I think he did an admirable thing. It could have had very negative results, but it confirmed, like, a lot of suspicions that some of the most exiled people in our country have had for years.
Yes, I don't know a lot about it. But it is, it's an interesting...
This is what you plan on podcasting about, right? I mean, this is what, we scripted this shit all out on the drive up.
Let me check my notes. But it, I mean, I guess I get the appeal. I think what's interesting to me is, like, the people who distrust the government now tend to be more right-wing. And that's new.
Right.
Where the left, during COVID, something happened where it's like the left has all the rules now, and it's the establishment, and the right is, don't, they get, of course they have rules, especially if there's a religious aspect attached to it. But it is, some of the same people who hate Dr. Fauci and you can't trust these fucking people, you know, Colin Powell stood up there and said, look, here's the pictures of weapons in Iraq. It was all bullshit. Do you know what I mean? It was all straight up. I mean, I think he said they lied to him too, but whatever. It was all, there's a, you know, we're not, there's so many lies and so many, you know, things that have happened in the history of this country, but there's like no, this country has no shame. There's no sense of like, even like, I mean, it depends what side of the aisle you're on, but it's like, even if you bring up slavery, it's like, well, there's white slaves too. Like, what the fuck? Yes, but like, right. This is a uniquely American thing we're talking about, and every country has it. But like, why aren't, what is the American thing where we just go like, well, government's hard and this is, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't, it seems uniquely American to admit any failure of any kind ever.
Right. So I think a perfectly rational thing to bring this to is the police shootings. That's the easiest.
I was hoping we'd get there.
But I think there's a thing where it's like, people will say, so I think if you asked people, I did this to my sister once. If she ever listens to this, she'll be embarrassed. But I asked her one day, because it was like post George Floyd. A lot of people were expressing grief. And I asked her, we were talking, and rightfully, like, George Floyd got murdered. Like, it's not, I don't think that's my, I'm not voting for him this time around. My former president, Kanye West, said that he died of a fentanyl overdose. I don't agree with him. I'll go out on that limb. I asked her, I was like, how many unarmed black men do you think get killed by the police every year, shot by the police every year? And she's like, I don't know, probably like 30,000.
Oh, Jesus.
And I was like, well, no, I mean, you know, but it's like the way that she receives this information is through. Yeah. And I was like, how many white people? And she was like, I don't know, 1,000 or something. I mean, I don't know what the number was, but I remember 30,000. But it's 10 and 20. It's 10 black people, 20 white people. So people will do that and they'll go, well, more white people. Well, first off, the thing is like way less people are getting shot and killed by the police than the media would let you know.
Yes.
But also, when you make the argument like, well, more white people are getting killed than black people, even let's take the part where you're like adjusting for population out of it. Is that okay?
Right.
Like, that's like your argument is.
Yep.
It, like, we've racialized every argument where you're like, because these people are white, then it's actually okay that the police killed this black guy. Like, what is the argument you're making?
Yeah, yeah. When your counter argument is, hey, they unjustly shoot white people too.
Right. Yeah. You're taking a lot of the pressure off of unjustly.
Yeah. It's
this truck driver is gonna be a dick.
He is gonna be a dick. He's got FedEx packages to.
FedEx, by the way, is who misplaced my. My old merch for a couple days.
Sons of bitches.
I know. I also, by the way, we have a camera on our porch I installed. Not a doorbell one. I put it up like high so you can't.
Yeah.
And I watched a FedEx guy just like throw my package on the porch the other day. Fucking FedEx.
Well, it's, look, one of our fun post-COVID economy realities is you're just happy anyone's doing a job.
I know.
It's like there is no sense of like, there are people running things who would have never been hired in 2019.
Isn't it also strange that they're like, nobody wants to work? And it's like, well, unemployment is at the lowest it's ever been. So do they really not want to work, or did they just get other jobs?
Clearly they just got, although, you know, I have never heard an explanation that makes total sense to me about how labor shortages even work, because I'm like, well, where'd they go? What are they doing? And it was always like, oh, when the benefits go away. Well, it's been years now. The benefits, you know.
Well, I think that the thing is that, so they told us about this when I was in high school, which is they like literally said 2020, which is funny now because they didn't predict a pandemic. But it would be like the peak of baby boomers retiring.
Yeah.
And these like reduced birth rates leading to this labor shortage, right? And so you have more consumers of like medical service. And yeah, I mean, I think like a lot of people retired because they went like, why the fuck am I still working? And also probably because many companies were like, well, we got to cut payroll somehow. So let's get old dickhead here on like let him retire instead of firing him and paying unemployment.
It is an interesting switch though to go from like oh man, automation's gonna cost us all these jobs to being like, where's this automation? We need it.
Yeah, that's true. Well, and also like, I mean, you know, I probably eat more McDonald's than someone should because it's like a consistent, I've gained the appreciation for having like the chain restaurant on the road doing comedy because you know what you're gonna get.
Yeah.
And not even like flavor wise because I do love trying new restaurants, but it's more like diarrhea and food poisoning. I suspect they're gonna overcook the fuck out of my double quarter pounder or whatever.
Yeah, you're like, this was cooked when I got off the truck.
Yeah.
This thing's gonna be fine.
Anyway, that shit's all like, you know, I haven't given my order to a person since the pandemic started. They're all like on the screen or on an app or whatever.
No, it's interesting. And it's, I mean, I think it's bounced back a little bit, but it's just like, still hotels, because I'm in a lot of hotels, they're like, we're not cleaning your room, by the way, which I don't care about. I never have them do it anyway, but it's like, it is,
Do you ever feel like you're like, I understand the pandemic was bad. I'm not going to say the pandemic wasn't bad. It hurt a lot of people, killed a lot of people. It has affected my lifestyle almost zero. Like, now. Like, it was for a while, but like, I'm back. Better. I'm better than I was before the pandemic.
Yes. I think there is, as far as, you know, obviously pretty traumatic. I'll say traumatic. It was a pretty traumatic time to, you know, lose my livelihood or all that stuff, especially in the
beginning. Yeah, I think that from what qualifies as trauma, I think losing your entire livelihood can count.
But also, we almost forget the thoughts we had. We forget March 2020 thoughts because it's been so long now and it feels even longer ago than it actually was. And it's, you know, before we all got bailout money, before we didn't fucking know what was going to happen. We, you know, it was a very, and we thought, like, you know, we thought if we saw a stranger, we were going to die. I mean, it was like this weird, you know, and it slowly, you know, by the time it got to like different strains and everything, we're like, well, what the big concern's long COVID. We're down to that. You know what I mean? Which, they ain't nothing. I'm not saying it's
sure.
But it's, so yeah, I do feel like I'm back as far as I'm fully doing what I used to do. I'm too busy. I do feel fully back, but I feel like society is not fully back.
Well,
maybe it won't be.
I don't think it's ever coming back to what it was. But I think it's also like we might have been in like a stretch of you ever hear that thing that, like, the fall of Rome, prior to the fall of Rome, they were, like, obsessed with gender, the world was full of, like, celebrity chefs,
Yeah, I have seen this list that is very surprisingly, shockingly similar.
Yeah, and you're like, you know, obviously, like, I think you could cherry pick anything like that, but you're like, man, did we like kind of escape? We got like a real crisis. Like, shit got too good, maybe. You know what I mean? Like, it was. And not to say that, like, I think we all appreciate everything more now.
Well, I do think this is based on no knowledge, but I just think biologically we're so set up to be, like, surviving and worried about surviving and problem solving, and that when things do get too easy, we'll just make shit up to be worried about. You know, it's some of that still happens, just ease of life stuff, but it is...
Isn't that, like, I mean, that's literally what lifting weights is. Like, literally lifting weights is, I don't have to do this. My life does not require me to lift 180 pounds. But I'm going to do it because I need to.
Well, even that is like this, if someone from 100 years ago saw what a buff dude looked like now, they'd be horrified. Yeah. They'd be like, what planet are you from? But even that is like, that's the fact that all we go to the gym, no, the universal we, not me personally, but you know, it's like, oh, we go to a gym or that's an acknowledgement that, like, the balance of what life is off.
Right.
And I'm glad it's off. I don't want to, like, fight to survive every fucking day, but that's still our brain.
I also like how we go, like, we do this stuff where we're like, we need the caveman diet because man isn't designed to eat whatever, and
right.
Cavemen used to eat this. I'm like, yeah, they also live till 30. What are we doing? Like,
I know.
What the fuck is this? Like, well, you're not even making a good point for your thing. Like, I'm not a dietitian, but when you're like, we need to live like those people that died really young, that's a tough argument.
I just heard a Jim Florentine joke about the caveman diet. And he's like, yeah, they also used to rape. He's like, maybe we should move on. Like, he was making fun of CrossFit and how they always like the paleo diet in CrossFit. And
oh, yeah, that's funny.
But yeah, it is, we have to be a healthy person, we have to, we're supposed to recreate things that aren't actually happening. And also, like you said, everyone fucking died at 30. So right. It's like, what are we actually, and I actually heard, I'm a little mad at Dr. Drew because he told me the pandemic wasn't going to happen, and he was wrong about that. But
he did fuck that up pretty hard, I remember.
Oh, yeah. He was like, guys, calm down. And then, like, I would like to make an apology. I was wrong about, you know, he didn't see it coming. But he, you know, he might have been less wrong than he thought.
Sure.
In hindsight. But anyway, he was... You know, he was on a radio show I was listening to, and they were talking about, well, you know, maybe our kids will live to be 110 or whatever. And he just goes like, oh, God, I hope not. Because he's like, his job, besides being a famous doctor and exploiting people who with drug and alcohol problems, is like, he takes care of old people. That's like his specialty or whatever. And it's like, it's not... We don't want more 98-year-olds. He's like, it's fucking terrible. They're in pain. They're in, like... And so this idea that, like, you know, you're just going to be... live forever or live for, like, a super long time or even upload your consciousness to, like...
That's the one that's the stupidest to me.
And he's just like, no, none of this shit is going to happen. You can't... Like, the human... You're not going to have an alert brain and a 110-year-old body. You're not going to. And it's and even me at 48, you do start looking at life where you stop going like, how many years do I have? And you go, how many good years do I have? And it is like a weird it's, I don't know how we got here, but it is a weird thing to be like, you know, and also life expectancy went down. I don't think it's going to stay down.
Yeah, I mean, I think the pandemic had like a pretty serious, I mean, I think it was actually going down already a little bit, but not, I think the pandemic, it killed a bunch of old people, you know, like there was a lot of old people that died that.
Yes.
And so, and died, you know, before, the life expectancy is kind of an odd thing too, because it's like, you know, the reason, there's a little bit of a misconception about like people living till they were 50 in like the, say 1950s, when life expectancy was like 51. It didn't mean that if you were 49, you had 2 years left to live. It meant infant mortality was super high.
Right, right.
And now it's not as high, and so it's not as, like, it's not as, whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Well, this almost contradicts what I said earlier about how this country never seems to learn anything or have any sense of regret about any of our questionable things. But I kind of wish, I kind of long for that. You're talking about, you know, of course, whatever, the moon landing, then whatever, you just believe, because like you're saying, like, even if the moon landing was fake, it was probably the best thing to do.
Right.
And it's like, that is so gone now. No one believes anything. We don't know what facts are. It's like, even like any COVID number you can find, everyone's disagreeing on it. We're all dying from the vaccine. No, it's actually long COVID. No, it's actually because we didn't go to the doctor. No, it's actually the stress from it. It's like no one fucking, it, I mean, even if he was, I kind of wish everyone did believe Dr. Fauci, even if he wasn't right about everything, because it's just an easier society, you know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I think like the thing you're saying though is like kind of that, like, the compliance that leads to really awful things.
I know.
Is like,
I know.
If we all agreed, let's not be genocidal monsters, then yes, I would agree with you. But, you know, there's...
It's just a lot of, like, I just want to go to the doctor and have him or her or them, the team,
how do you...
tell me what to do and not go home and Google it.
Right.
But, like, you know, my wife's had some... If you have unique health problems, you do have to advocate for yourself. You know, it's a fucked up time, and that was true before COVID. But it is this weird thing where it's like, man, I wish if someone brings something up to me, it feels like homework. Oh, now I got to look into this.
Oh, shit.
I got to look into this fucking, you know.
Yeah.
I got to get the real story on whatever.
Yeah, that's miserable. And I have like some folks in my life, my mom being one of them, who's like, she's like, you're my source for the real truth. And I'm like my acknowledgement is that I'm fucking dumb.
You're your mom's Joe Rogan.
I'm her Joe Rogan. I think, god damn it, I fucking... Hold on,
someone
Gabe.
Doesn't know where their sister
is. I know, I thought
lives.
it was my fucking, it was saved in my phone in some way, but I've managed to fuck this up. I fucked this up, Gabe. I went too far. I know what I need to do, but god damn it. Now I've added extra minutes to your fucking time with me.
Bitch.
Yeah, it's Okay, Gabe. It's game time. I think we need to go this way.
Did your sister have a baby?
No.
Oh, she got married.
Yeah, she got married in August. They're in negotiations.
I get it.
Part of the thing, man, is like, and this is like, we're symptoms of a bigger thing, but people are having kids way later. I think it's good. I don't think it's bad, but it is happening.
It's biologically harder, but it does make sense. You ever met a 22-year-old? Or what?
Dude, this is the thing that I'm worried about, is my daughter is going to be going to school, and I'm going to be going to, like, a fucking basketball game of hers. She's 8 years old. I'm 41, mm-hmm. And there's fucking 23-year-olds there that have kids that I exposed my daughter to?
Well, it's funny because I mean, that age you probably just said is like probably, you know, I was 38 when my youngest was born, and I felt like I was the oldest dude in the world to ever have a kid.
Yeah.
But it's like, especially in Seattle, there's so many like 55-year-old first-time dads.
Right.
So I've never been like the oldest dad, but certainly there's some younger ones. But you're never gonna, there'll be so many oldies that you know, you'll be in the middle somewhere. But when I was a kid, you would have never seen that.
Right.
I mean, everyone was out of high school by the time my parents were 42, I think.
Damn. It is kind of nice, like, to be empty nesters at 42. Well, they didn't get to be empty nesters. But.
No, but it would have been, you do have some years of not just, like, it's a little before your RV years, you know what I mean? It's.
Yeah, I got a lot of years till I gotta figure out how to drive an RV. They seem so scary to drive.
It seems terrifying. They let you rent them, by the way.
I know, that's so crazy. Those things have to be flying off cliffs constantly.
My grandma rented one and clipped a bridge. Turned around, drove it right back. She was gonna go on like this all around the country thing and just was like, nope!
Oh, I thought you meant she put it under the bridge again, like hit
no,
the bridge.
No, she
again.
Was on a bridge and like hit the side with the RV rental and was just like, I can't do this.
That's actually like honorable.
Yeah.
Because she could have killed somebody.
Yeah, I know.
And her, like, you know, whatever, not her specific stupid pride, but stupid pride did not get in the way of her. That's good. I know the mistake I made, Gabe. I know we're en route. We're headed there. No more pauses, no more reroutes. I know the way.
You don't even have a sister.
That's true. I think that's where the podcast ends.